Y'all all right out there?
All right.
Maybe it's because I haven't done my normal introduction. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Come on, can somebody here give God a hand clap of praise on today? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. All right, there we go. Now we're getting somewhere. Amen. You don't want to sit down on the praise that you have. You know, in spite of whatever you're going through and dealing with, God is still in the blessing business. And he has truly been good to me. And looking at y'all's faces, it looked like he's been good to you too. Because in spite of what you're dealing with, you still made it out to give God some praise. And right there is a reason and a right to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I ain't going to be up here long. All right. I'm going to get in your way and out of your way. I give reverence to our, can you just do me a favor and give our pastor a thunderous hand clap? Amen. 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 I love him so much, and I thank him. I talked to him the other day, and we was just encouraging each other, and I want him to know that I love him so much. And it's always good to just call and just to check up on somebody, just to say, hey, how you doing? You was on my mind, and I was just thinking about you. So you want to keep that in mind when you're going through your daily activity throughout the week and everything. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come to you now. I ask that you endow me with the power of the Holy Ghost that you have laid before us, God. Hide me behind the cross so that they might see and hear from you. Preach to me, through me, and for me. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We ask all these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's get on into this. The book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel, chapter number 37, beginning at verse number 1. A little bit of reading today. I'm not going to have you standing the whole time, but just a little bit of reading. Ezekiel, chapter 37, beginning at verse number 1. When you have it, say amen.
Amen.
And the Bible gives us this intelligence. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. And it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, they were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very many. Dry. Look at somebody and say, they were very dry.
They were very dry.
Uh-huh. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, oh Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, oh dry bones. Look at somebody and say, oh dry bones.
Oh, dry bones.
Uh-huh. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. God bless you. You all may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Right.
I just can't give up now. I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I can't. Yeah. Come on, can we just see that all together? I come too far from where I started from. Nobody told me the road would don't believe. Just say that part right there. I don't believe he brought me this far. I don't believe he's brought me this far. I don't believe he's brought me this far to leave me. If you ain't never been through anything, you ain't gonna understand that song right there. If you ain't never dealt with anything, you ain't gonna understand that song right there. Look at somebody. Help me announce my text. Tell them, neighbor. Revival in the valley. Revival in the valley. All right. Let me look at that clock. I'm going to get in and out of here. I remember when I was younger, I was raised by my grandparents, and I wasn't always the perfect child. I wasn't always perfect like I am now. There were some things that I did that disappointed my grandparents. Made them upset and made them, you know, put a belt to me every now and again. But I remember going to my grandmother at times, and grandma always said to me, the whooping means nothing if you don't know how to apologize. If you don't know how to come and just say, I'm sorry. If you don't know how to come and just say, I was in the wrong. Please forgive me. And we're living in a time now to where apologies are not even given anymore. The problem is everybody always think they right. So if everybody's always right, there's nobody's wrong. So there's no way we're getting anywhere. What happens now is that we have forgotten the scripture that if you have an ought with your brother, if you have a problem with them, go to them and talk to them. Nowadays, we don't even want to do that now. We get so stubborn and stuck in our ways to where we don't want to apologize. We rather shut our mouth, walk past them, and don't say anything else to them. That's a sad Christian that don't know how to apologize. That's a sad Christian that don't know how to go and ask for forgiveness. And the problem is that when you can't do it with your earthly people, you don't even do it with your heavenly Father.
All right.
Because again, you don't think you're wrong. You don't think you done anything wrong. So if I offended anybody, I apologize, okay? Now, that's all you're going to get, because sometimes that's all it takes. The problem is we don't even want to do that little bit. Oh, look at the church getting quiet. I'm right on the track then. Okay, cool. Right on track. So here we go here. In the book of Ezekiel, we have came to a point now where the Israelites are in bondage once again, or captivity. While they're in captivity, what happened is they decided not to follow the law. They decided not to obey God's words and his will. They decided to idolize different idols and go and do everything outside the word of God.
Yeah,
all right, here we go. So the Israelites are in captivity now. And what's going on is that they are going to and fro and they feel that they have got full disconnected from God. I don't know about you, but have you ever been there to where you feel like you have a disconnect with God? Have you ever been there to where you feel like your prayers are not even touching the ceiling? And I come to tell you today that I, at one point in time, was there to where I felt a full disconnect in God. I felt that I had did so many things and I have gotten so low to where God could not hear me. But I want you to understand that no matter how low you get, God's ear is to your prayers. Sometimes God has to step back to get our attention, but even with him stepping back, he's never left us. Have you ever been there to where you felt all alone? You had nobody to call on. You were all by yourself. And then God, in the midst of everything, steps in. Israel is in captivity. The same Israel who God delivered out of Egypt. The same Israel who God allowed to cross the Red Sea. The same Israel who God destroyed the enemies while crossing the Red Sea. The same Israel who God led them by fire and kept them warm at night and also led them by day with a cloud. The same Israel God said is my chosen people have now decided to turn their back on God. They have turned their back on God. And now the bondage is once again. And I want to stamp something. When God has delivered you from something. I'm going to say it again. When God has delivered you from something. Something that you have prayed to be delivered from. Why do we insist on going back to it? It seemed like the first deliverance wasn't good enough. It's going to get a little tight right up in here in just a little bit. The reason why some of us cannot stay delivered is because we don't possess or hold something called the Holy Ghost. Can I talk about the Holy Ghost just for a minute? You know, Pastor, that's become unpopular in some churches now. They don't even preach about the Holy Ghost. They don't preach that you can be saved, sanctified, and free from sin. They don't even preach that nowadays. But I stand today to tell you that if you are battling with something, if you continue to go back, that means you need the Holy Ghost. Let them get quiet. It's because it ain't really being taught amongst churches. But the Holy Ghost can keep you and hold you and hold you late. Hold you, hold you, hold you. Full deliverance comes through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will walk with you. The Holy Ghost will talk with you. The Holy Ghost will convict you when you're doing stuff you know you ain't supposed to do. That little voice, that ain't just your conscience. That's the Holy Ghost telling you don't do that. And I believe if Israel at time had the Holy Ghost, they wouldn't have ended up in so much mess like they did. Oh, okay. All right. I know. It ain't your average one. But I want you to understand, Christians, disciples, people of God, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. The Bible teaches that ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost had came upon you. See, you know, nowadays when we were younger, we would say this line right here. Oh, she caught the Holy Ghost. Y'all see her? She caught it. Deacon such as us caught the Holy Ghost. It's not a cold, good people. You can't just catch it. It's got to dwell within inside of you. The Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus said, if I don't leave, then the Comforter. The Comforter cannot come. You want to know why they don't want to talk about the Holy Ghost? You want to know why? Because when you talk about the Holy Ghost, you then got to talk about sanctification. That ain't popular no more nowadays either. Everybody want to be saved, but don't nobody want to be sanctified. Let me tell you, I don't care what anybody say, ain't nothing like a sanctified woman. Ain't nothing like a sanctified person. Because you know what's crazy now is that when people get down on their luck, when they need prayer, when people get sick, they don't just call just some average Christian. Nah, they call the one that they know for a fact is sanctified. I don't know what it is, but it's something about them sanctified prayers that get you right on around. Look at the church getting quiet. Look at your neighbor and say, it's tight, but it's right. Israel, there was no sanctification there. There was nobody. Can you imagine? There was nobody telling them, like, hey, don't do that. You probably had those little faithful few that was saying, hey, don't do that. And in the process of their disobedience, God raises up a prophet by the name of Ezekiel. The crazy part about it is there was nothing really just special about Ezekiel. The only thing special about Ezekiel is that God chose them. And I want you to understand with that, no matter how much mess you have done, no matter how low you think you have gotten, no matter how far you think you have strayed away from God, God can still change you and use you to bring... You're talking to someone that shouldn't be up here preaching. God will take, come on now. God will take you out of your mess. Plant your feet on solid ground. Endow you with the power you need to stay moving in God's word. Don't tell me what God can't do. You can't make me doubt him. I know too much about him. God raises up Ezekiel. And he shows Ezekiel a vision. He moves Ezekiel out to a valley. And if you know anything about valleys, valleys are low. Valleys are at the bottom. If you look it up, the first word in the dictionary that is defining a valley, it says a depressed. Okay. If you look up the first, if you look up the word valley, the first word it mentions is depressed. Some of us in here are depressed. Some of us in here have been dealing with health issues. Some of us in here have been dealing with family issues that and it's gotten so bad that we have created our own valley. And in that valley, you have decided to lay down your joy. Okay. In that valley, you have decided to lay down your peace. In that valley, you have decided to lay down your happiness. In that valley, you have decided to lay down your attendance at church. In that valley, you have decided to lay down everything that made you happy. In that valley, you have decided to lay down the word of God. Because I have gotten into a depressed position. All of our things have now been laid down in the valley. And they now have gotten dried. And now the crazy part of it is because we have been in the valley so long. We don't even remember where we placed everything. The Bible tells us, if we were to read a little bit farther, the Bible tells us that Ezekiel was in that valley and he said, the bones were everywhere. I'm seeing them all over the place. They scattered everywhere. Because when we entered in our valley, we laid our happiness here. And we thought we were doing okay, and then we got back in the valley, and we laid our joy over here. And then we laid our peace way back down somewhere. And then we did it. And it was all, it's all scattered. And then God said to Ezekiel, basically, can these dry bones live? Israel had felt they had gotten so far away that there was no hope, that there was no way of reconciling with God. Because of everything they've done and been through, they felt that the disconnect was so bad, God wouldn't dare bring them back. But how many people know that when God makes a promise, he don't keep his promise. God made a promise to Israel, and he kept his promise. Now, here's why I want you to understand this. No matter what you have done and gone through, when God makes you a promise, he's going to honor his promise. Because God is a man that he shall. Can these dry bones live? Ezekiel turned and said, God, you know. It ain't for me to say, you already know. God didn't turn to Ezekiel and say, prophesy over him. Speak the word of the Lord over him. And when you're in your valley, that same word that you laid down at one point in time, that's the only thing that can bring you up out of that valley. The Bible tells us that God said, I'm going to give you the breath to breathe into these bones. I don't know about you, but some of us may be a little dried up in here today. You come to church dried up. That's why you can't clap your hands. You come to church dried up. That's why you can't sing the way you want to sing. You come to church dried up. That's why you ain't got no peace. Because you're dried up bones. Okay, Lord. You're dried up. You come in one way and leave out the same way. You can't receive the word because you're so stuck in your valley. And I'm not going to sit here and make it seem like it's easy. It ain't always easy to come out your valley. But if God be for you, won't he do it? They come in. I got to say this, and I'm up out of here. Y'all give me 7 minutes. I know, give me 7 minutes, and I'll let you know when to start the clock. They come in the church. Pastor say, can we all stand? And here go your dried up self. Pastor say, do everybody got a bulletin to read the word of God? Oh God, thank you, Lord. Pastor said this morning, the song is on 262. Song done finished and you just now finding where it's at. Because you're dried up. I dare somebody to say, Lord, breathe on me. I dare somebody to say, Lord, just breathe on me. I dare somebody to say, Lord, breathe on me. Won't he do it? Ezekiel's in the valley now, and I'm almost out of here. Ezekiel's in the valley. He said, God, only you know if these bones can live. God said, I'm going to put the breath in you, to Ezekiel. And I want you to prophesy to these bones. Ezekiel started speaking the word of God. All of a sudden, the Bible tells us, Williams, if I get emotional, get up here and finish this off. The Bible tells us that all of a sudden, when the word of God went forth, Ezekiel started hearing all of this rattling in the valley. He started hearing it and looking around and trying to figure out what's going on. All of a sudden, he's seeing the bones are being put together. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, I need more than just bones. All right. The Bible then tells us that Ezekiel looked at the bones being put together. In the process of that, now skin and flesh is now being put on. On the bones. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, we're about to have a revival now. All of a sudden, skin is now on the skeleton. And in the Bible says that the skeleton stood up like an army. All of a sudden, God said, it ain't done yet, Ezekiel. We got the bones finally put together. The skin and flesh is now put together. We need two more things right quick. First thing I need you to do is breathe. Breathe onto the bones. Breathe onto the flesh and watch your bodies become live again. Touch somebody and tell them, neighbor, we need God to breathe on us. Now, I want to add something to this right quick. You got skeletons, you got flesh, and you got breath, which means you got blood running warm in your veins. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, now we're on the blood part right now. In order for you to come out your valley, you got to plead the blood over. Plead the blood over your happiness. Plead the blood over your circumstances. Plead the... I plead the blood. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, I need that same blood. The blood that was shed on Calvary. The blood that was dripping down the cross. The blood is what I need. I plead the blood. Look at, oh. The first thing that happened in the valley. The first thing that happened in the valley. The first thing you got to understand is that you got to be renewed. No matter what you're going through in your valley. You gotta be renewed. If you disobey God, you gotta be renewed. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Oh! Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Help me, Lord Jesus, to preach your word. The second thing you gotta do in the valley is you gotta be restored. You gotta be restored. If you confess with your mouth and believe, God can forgive your sins. God can turn you around and make you a new person. God can pick you up, turn you around, place your feet on solid ground. And the last thing, after you've been renewed, after them been restored, then you gotta be revived. Because after God breathed on you and there's life back in you, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Pilgrim Branch, I dare you to cry out and say, Lord, breathe on us. 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 Because he give power to the faint and to them that have no might. He will increase their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord. For the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pasture. He leading me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leading me in the path of righteousness. That is good for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley. I say, yay, though I walk through the valley. Yay, though I walk through the valley. I'm going to pick back up my joy. I'm going to go find my happiness and pick it back up. I'm going to find my peace I once had and pick it back up. I'm going to find my grace. Thank you, Lord, for grace. There go my mercy right there. There go my peace over there. Yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff that comfort me, that prepareth the table before me in the presence of my enemies. They anoint my hair with oil. My cup runneth over surely. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell. Lord, Only you know. Can these dry bones live, Deacon? Can these dry bones live, Deacon? Shante, can these dry bones live? Hey! Lord, only you know. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer. And
thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."